So I want to just try to reinforce to you, as you are looking to be a better you, that you don't strive on works and miss out on the free dimension of the unmerited favor that goes with you for the rest of your life once you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk about this ghost of grace because that's what he brings. If I was to ask you, the personality of the Holy Ghost never brings attention to himself. We'd call that being humble. Always tries to be an encouragement to others. That would be the great encourager. Never tries to elevate himself. Tries to get us connected to Jesus. Jesus tries to connect us to the Father. So it's an unbeatable package.
Amen.
But what you need to realize, the wooing, how you got to this place, no one comes to the Father unless they've been wooed. That wooing happens because of the Holy Ghost that drew each and every one of us to him. And so I want to start this morning in the book of Ephesians. And those that have to get used to your Bible again, that's good. Amen. I'm in chapter 2, Paul to the Christians at Ephesus. But I just want to set the foundation as we go to this very important dimension that we need to understand, and hopefully we will. Then we're going to have some fun things, hopefully, at the end of the service. Not that this isn't fun, but anyway. I'm going to pick it up at verse 5. And Paul says this to the Corinthians, or to the Christians in Ephesus. When we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Now mine, I'm the New King James Version. By grace, you have been saved. And we understand grace, unmerited favor. We have been saved. Okay, we use the word in English, saved. In the Greek, sozo is the word they put there, but that's delivered, made whole, perfected. So when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, this dimension of grace, this freely gift, brings us to be delivered, brings us to be made whole, brings us to, yes, to be saved from hell to heaven.
Yes.
Beautiful undertaking that sets us here today to smile and know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but also realizing all of these benefits we receive freely.
Amen.
Not because we get good enough or we never would get these, but it goes on, it says this, He's raised us up together. Now look to the person at your left and right. He didn't raise you up by yourself. He raised believers up together. That's why we are together, raised up and situated in heavenly places and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in itself is a blessing to realize that we are raised up. Now, it's not just Shield of Faith. It's the body of Christ. That's why we're very careful we don't criticize other bodies because we may be sitting with them, and we are technically right now in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let me stop there. As we progress on, what he is telling us that you're going to understand grace more and more of what he did for you and to you for the rest of your life. It's going to intensify. So we're saved by grace through faith, but there's an element that in the ages to come, and we're in those ages to come, we're going to understand it more and more.
Amen.
And there is a movement across the land, if you've not been aware of it, where people that have been killed by the letter of the law are being freed by the grace of Christ. And they're realizing they don't have to strive to get good enough, but they realize when Jesus becomes the Lord of our life, all that junk goes, and we take on his righteousness. Amen? For by grace, unmerited favor, we have been saved, delivered, made whole through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, no one can boast. We, the believers situated together in heavenly places, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Amen.
All right, so we didn't earn it, but we got it when we made Jesus Christ our Lord. We were made whole. We were made perfect. We were made beautiful. But more important than anything, we became righteous. Before then, we were unrighteous, and our righteousness was as what? Filthy rags. We take on His righteousness when we identify and receive Him. All we have to do is believe.
Amen.
And a lot of people don't like it to be that easy. They want people to strive. They want you to hunt out all the Old Testament scriptures, 600 and some commandments, and you got to live by any of them. And if you don't, you're going to be projected. You're not going to make it. I'm here to tell you, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you are situated in heavenly places, and you've made it. Amen? So we see this dimension. Now, Jesus jumped back to the transitional scriptures of the Gospels, where He was taking us from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, and He was purposing to explain to us about this Holy Ghost. And He says in John 14, and again, you can turn if you want with me or follow along. John 14 says this. Jesus is setting the stage. Let me lay this foundation. 14, going to pick up with verse 16. This is red lettered, which means Jesus is actually speaking. I will pray to my Father, and He's going to give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Ghost of truth, yours may say the Holy Ghost, yours may say Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it can't see Him nor know Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, but He's going to be soon in you. So it's setting the stage that we, back then they had God with them because the Holy Ghost went with Jesus, but there was coming a time Jesus was going to die, go to the cross, going to send the Comforter, the Helper, the Ghost, that was going to not only be with them, but be in them for the rest of their life.
Amen.
And the Bible promises He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 26 says, this Helper or the Ghost, whom the Father is going to send in my name, He's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus said. That's why last week when I was talking about getting stronger spiritually, you've got to understand what Jesus said, and how we understand is we get in here and we see what He said. And then we allow the Ghost to remind us what has already been deposited in our heart.
Good.
And that's why some things we know pretty easily, because it's decree or it's direction that we get out of the Word. And sometimes He moves and we don't understand it, but He positions us where He wants us. Amen? So we see this. For chapter 16 says this. When He comes, and this is what I want us to focus on a little bit before I go to this dimension. When this Ghost comes, this God that's going to live in us, He's coming for three main purposes back that Jesus is sending. Now, we know what happens in the day of Pentecost. We know the Ghost was with Jesus and got in Him when He got water baptized. But to the believers, He said, don't do anything until you get endued with power. We know it's going to come in Acts, the breaking forth of the New Testament church. But He's setting the stage by telling us this is why the Ghost or the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is coming. And He says this, three reasons. He's going to come to convict the world of sin. Everybody say sin. The world are the unbelievers. He's going to convict the world of sin, and the sin is, everybody look at me, you can skip down over, the sin of unbelief, because they do not believe in Jesus, period. Not that they swore or cussed or took drugs or shacked up with people. They are the world unbelievers, because they have not believed on the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit, the Ghost, is coming to convict them of that. I wish everybody would take the conviction and receive the Holy Spirit. But we realize not everybody does. But the second part is to us. And He goes on, it says, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. And then it goes on, it says, because we see Him no more. The function of the Holy Ghost that lives in us is to continuously rehearse to you, you are righteous, you are righteous, You are righteous. The head's going to tell you, but you know what you were thinking. You know what you did. The ghost says you are righteous. You are righteous. The ghost is sent to believers to remind them that they're righteous, that they're righteous, that they're righteous. It's going to remind you that he took your unrighteousness on the cross and he made you righteous, righteous. And I'm telling you, faith cometh by hearing. The more the body of Christ realizes they're the righteousness in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God, the more they feel better about themselves, because that's exactly the abundant life God wants us.
Amen.
There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, but he wants, the ghost was sent to us to remind us we're righteous. So when you mess up and you do something stupid, or you we would call it sin, the ghost is there to remind you you are righteous. The law is going to try and get you back to tell you, oh, but you didn't do this, this, and this. Let me put it the way the Lord showed it to me. My mom taught me to swim. And my first excursion, six of us kids, I was the renegade, you realize that, and I always strayed outside the path. We go to this lake. And this lake, public access, you had to pay to get into it. You sit on the beach, crowd it. It was my turn to swim out to the raft. My mom's representing the ghost, the Holy Ghost. His main function is to remind us that we're righteous and continuously connect us and protect us, keep us protected and healed. My dad's sleeping on the beach, sisters and brothers out swimming, they knew how to swim, and I head out to the raft. Halfway out, I panicked and I began to drown. And I went under, and I'm crying out to my mom, help me. This is the grace of God. She didn't say, you were mean to your brothers today. You didn't make your bed before you got up.
Good.
Mom, I'm drowning. You got 3 C's on your report card. See, that's how the mentality we have as believers. We see that there's focusing on everything we didn't do perfect. When I know, because God says how evil our earthly fathers, how much more will our heavenly Father, immediately my mom did not hesitate and she came right after me. She did not base it on whether I was a good kid. She realized that's my son, and that's the same thing with us as believers. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the focus is on that which is in Christ Jesus, the good, of good report.
Yes.
That's the visual you got to take away. Not focusing on all the things you didn't do exactly right.
Amen.
Or I need to do better.
Thank God.
We want to better ourselves, but that doesn't make us more received or more loved in the presence of the Lord. And remember, the ghost's purpose is to connect us to what Jesus has told us and let us know we're righteous. Just think if we in the body of Christ had our kids come to the Lord, or we had relatives come to the Lord, but they got stupid and start doing stupid things. We kept reminding them, you're righteous. You're a righteous daughter. You're a righteous son. Instead of focusing out, would you quit smoking and drinking and carrying on? You're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You're a mighty man. You're a mighty woman of God. Can you imagine? That's how I see my Holy Ghost operating, reminding me. That's why I don't get down. That's why I stay upbeat. That's why I stay happy. That's why I believe I can walk in the abundant life that God promises, because I'm not focusing on all the places I miss it. I'm focusing on the goodness of God, and it's the goodness of God that makes me want to live for him.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I was telling my wife, I got another direction. I think I was telling Pastor Mike too. It's like this. Here's the ghost. How many of you have GPS of some form?
Yep.
It's kind of like you program. The ghost programs where he wants us. Remember it says in Psalms 37, the footsteps of a righteous man or woman, and remember we're righteous, are ordered by the what? Now, he doesn't force us to follow his ordered footsteps, but his purpose is to keep encouraging us. So we're programmed in. He's programmed in. And if you got GPS and you know where you're going and you take a wrong turn, what's that GPS immediately start saying? Reprogramming.
Recalculating.
And after a while, now listen, because I know it's not just me. When you don't want to turn around and go that way, after about three or four streets and it keeps telling you that, it's like, shut up. But see, the GPS is still trying to get us to the right location, even when we're making the wrong turns. And it's like the ghost of God that wants us to go the right way, doesn't force us, but he's always recalculating us. When we make a wrong turn, he's recalculating to get us back on course. Because his purpose, I was remembering Chaplain Chuck sharing the time. I forget what you were going down to Detroit, some conference of some sort. And he was following his GPS, and it took him off the main thoroughfare. And it went into the side streets, and he stayed following it. And he's telling himself, I remember, if misquoting you, why in the world, look at all the extra stop signs. I can't believe we're not going to get there on time. And lo and behold, it took extra time, but he got there on time. And when he went into the conference, a bunch of the people weren't there yet. What had happened is those that resisted that followed their GPS or didn't have a GPS, and they went to the place it normally is, and there were accidents, and they were backed up, and they got there way late, and they missed out. The ghost knows what's ahead and sometimes has to redirect our lives to get us where he wants us to get to. His good for us. It's to do us good, not evil. Yeah. To be a blessing. Yes. If we could look at it that way, he's reminding me, I'm righteous. He's got my footsteps ordered. Even when I make stupid turns, he's going to do something to try to get me back on track. Yes. And sometimes we have to go through some catastrophic things. We may even have to fall out of trees and be dead eight times like Jeff back there and wake up. I can't go back. I want to go for God now. I'm telling you, he's doing whatever he can to get us turned on to him. Amen. Sure, he doesn't like to see us hurting, but I'm telling you, his overall thing is to get us on the right, not just a good way, the right way. And that's his plan for all of us. This isn't, oh, it's a pastor's anointing. No, it's a believer anointing. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, protected, healed, and of course saved from hell to life. Amen? The law always tries to get you to consciously think on your self weaknesses, whereas grace conscious has you think on Christ. It's Christ conscious. Oh, thank you. I mean, someone said, well, don't you feel bad? No, I'm sorry, I don't. You've heard me say that when I go to funerals and I know the person was a believer, I got to be careful because my wife says, you're having too much fun. Most people are still in the mourning and you're laughing and carrying. I know, but they're saved. But they don't have that revelation. They're thinking that, ooh, we got to moan and cry and be sad. And I'm not taking away, be sad if you lose a loved one. But if you know they went to heaven and now they got their youthful body and they got their health and so forth, isn't that graduation day? Yeah. Isn't that a celebration? That's why there's no sting, it says, to the death of a Christian. Glory. So what do we got to lose? If we go home, wow, we're in bliss. If we stay here, we got heaven on earth as it already is going on in heaven. Come on. Wow. That's why Christians should be the happiest, should have the most fun, should be enjoying life. My wife sometimes says, you're always excited to get to church. I don't know what's going to happen. And it might not even just be the church setting. It might be the journey there or back, because there's been pretty exciting things that happen on the way and on the way home. Because he's ordering your footsteps. And he's taking you where he needs to hook you up, where you're going to produce. Produce. Everybody say produce. His goal is everyone in here, he wants you to experience abundant life. Oh yeah. People can have abundant life no matter what. You can be abundant life even if you're incarcerated. Because most people know why they are, but God can turn that around too. He can be the happiest ones in there, and then you get out, wow, I know what death is like. I know what life. I like life. And I'm going to encourage while I can as many as I can, whether it's at the juvie, which someone is going to get blessed to help set some people free, or other areas that God opens up the doors because he's ordering your footsteps. Most of you think you're here because, oh yeah, let's try a bunch of places out. God knows where he wants us. God knows what right turns to get to us because he's got our good. And he wants you to know you're righteous. Yep. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This is the role. Holy Ghost came. In Acts 2, actually Acts 1:8, it says you're going to get power. Did you know God wants us to have power?
Amen.
This power isn't our power, but we get it because it comes with the Holy Ghost. So it says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you receive power. Okay, so we get power. Then as we explore on later on, Acts 2:4, it talks about how the Ghost wants everybody to be filled. Do you know what when it says that they all were filled? That means they all were filled. That means there wasn't a few that were good enough, and then a few that didn't quite stack up, or a few of them that messed up that night. No, they were all filled with the Ghost on high. And when they were all filled, they had a good time. I mean, you talk about people that got to use the counterfeit and get drunk to have a good time. They thought they must be drunk because they're having a good time. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to drink a lick of anything to have a good time. Because when the Ghost hits you, you can have a good time. And that's exactly what was demonstrated in Acts chapter 2. When the Ghost of God came on them, they thought they were drunk. They were just having a blast.
Amen.
You'd have thought heaven had come to earth, and it did. Because the Ghost brought heaven to earth. And that's why we continue to pray. In Acts 2:19 through 22, it talks about this is how we want the body of Christ to flow. It says, and Peter stands up and says, hey, this is just what's been prophesied through all the Old Testament prophets that would happen when the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. These things would happen. There were healings going forth. People were prophesying. People were seeing signs and wonders in the sky. Has our Lord changed?
Nope.
We change, but he's the Lord that changes not. Which means, does he love us as much as he loved all of those that got filled back on the day of Pentecost?
Yes.
He loves us just as much. So whatever was happening then should be happening now. So we should be expecting to see the same signs and wonders and experiences because God's no respecter of persons.
Right.
So people that are hungry, I want to see the supernatural. So that's the heart of God. You're righteous.
Amen.
And the kingdom of righteousness wants to release heaven on earth. Pray. Kingdom come. Will be done. On earth as it's going on in heaven. And I'm telling you what, it's not sad in heaven. There's some party going on.
Amen.
Someone says, oh, Pastor, man, you just get carried away, man. You're just worshiping, jumping up. Yeah. Trust me, in heaven, they're not quiet. They're having a good time. And he wants us to have a good time down here.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Having a blast is what the Ghost in us wants us to experience. And everybody in here has the capability of having abundant life and a blast in your life because he is no respecter of persons. The same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So the same power that demonstrated so many signs and wonders through Jesus' day is still to be happening today.
Yes, sir.
Let me share something that just exploded this week, and I've been talking to just about everybody I come in contact with because I think it ties in where the Holy Ghost has us. In the news this last week, they had this huge survey, doctor's report, that came in. Everybody's after the youth, the fountain of youth. How can you rejuvenate and have more youthful life to you? And they begin to talk about the certain things. If you did this or that, it would cut different years off your life. But then they were marveling at a certain section of people that they didn't seem to age like the rest. And what they found was that when people connected with like people, they were happier and they didn't age as fast. And I thought, doesn't the Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God, and they'll still be bearing fruit even as they age.
Amen.
Do you know that when we connect with one another, there is a release of youthfulness on us because we get upbeat, we got something in common, and we got something exciting. So I'm telling you this to tell you this. If you are getting depressed and down because your kids or your relatives don't want nothing to do with God and you're spending a lot of time with them, I'm not telling you to write them off. I'm saying to pray for them, but you need to get connected in a body of Christ with some like passion people, and you need to get excited and you need to stay the upbeat. That's why, Pastor Mike, we have cell groups. That's why there's Bible studies, to draw people into groups where they have like passion and they have things in common, because it makes us youthful. It keeps us healthier.
Amen.
Why do you think there's such an onslaught today? They say people are leaving church all left and right, and people, oh, I've been there, done that, I don't have time to connect. I'm telling you what, I want to keep you young. We get to heaven, that's glorious. It's down here is where we affect the lives of others. And I need a lot of help, which means I need a lot of happy people. I need to see a lot of marriages that are the best marriages alive, so when we see our kids being raised up, wow, I want a marriage like that.
Amen.
I tell Pastor Mike all the time, his daughters are going to want someone just like him, because his daughter sees the love that mom and dad have, and they don't have to have some counterfeit party spirit get on them. They can love each other, enjoy each other, enjoy life.
Amen.
But we're in like passion. We're hanging with like people that have the same things in common. I'm encouraging you, if you're not connected, get connected to others. You can't connect with everybody. But get connected to those that have like passion. I'm going to start counting your wrinkles. You better start connecting, man. And then I realize the voice of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My wife, I'm always encouraging her because she has a cell group on Thursdays. And you know, after you put in, she's an interior designer, so after she's worked and beautified people's houses, she gets home, she wants to just stay home. And I love to have her stay home, but I'm thinking, wow, what a blessing that there's a cell group out in Brandt that Jennifer oversees. And every time she comes home, even though it's so hard to get there, every time she comes home, I says, so, how'd it go? Oh, it was good. It was really good, just like you said. Because it is. I mean, we got men that will bend over backwards to make sure they can get to the men's group at 1 o'clock, you know, mostly retirees and so forth. It's because we have like passion. And Richard, we can be ourselves, huh? And people still love us. He says, we haven't kicked him out of this church yet. Is it time to give him the boot or what?
No way.
No way. Yeah, we'd miss. Yeah, we would. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they're flourishing. And the ones that aren't planted aren't flourishing, but it's not because the ghost don't love you. He's working on your system, recalculating you to get you off yourself and get you on where there really is going to be some strength and encouragement in your life. That's with people of like passion and faith. And if you're only getting it on Facebook, I'm telling you what, when my wife shows me the junk that's on there and the criticism and the, thank you, Sarah. She always told me, Pastor, don't go on Facebook. That's not you. That's not me. Because I'm going to just see my righteous brothers and sisters. And you can swear and cuss and do all that stuff you want, but I'm telling you what, the ghost is going to keep on working on getting you where he wants you to be. Right in track, enjoying life, and having a blast. Amen?
Amen?
Turn with me, if you would, to your Bibles. I want to finish in this section. Mark chapter 16. Jesus leaves 16. I'm going to pick up. This is after Jesus arises from the dead. But this is the great releasing to believers. That's us, even though it takes place in Acts. This is where he's telling them. This is the go. This is the great commission. Mine even has a category that says the great commission. You might have that in yours. 15 says this. And Jesus said to the believers, go into all the world and share the good news with every creature. Yours might say every person. And that doesn't mean you got to talk to them. Live it. I'll tell you what. They see happy, excited people enjoying life. People are going to be drawn to you. Want to know, wow, what do you got? I got Jesus. And you're welcome to him. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Please don't think that's water baptism. When you look in the rendering, that's being those that believe, you're baptized into the body of Christ. It's called the baptism of blood. We're under Jesus' blood. It's good to follow the Lord's example in water baptism, but do you know there's three major baptisms? Baptism into the body of Christ, baptism water for a believer, baptism in the Holy Ghost. We want them all. But if you're a believer, it says, but he who does not believe, they're condemned. Now remember, what the Holy Ghost come? To convict the world to do what? Believe. And if not, they're condemned. God's not condemning them. They condemn themselves. These signs, everybody say these signs, will follow those who believe. All right, everybody look at me. Little exercise. How many in this room, and show me your nice strong hand, believe? All right, hold your hand up. Wow, I think we got 100%. That's good for my next exercise. Ah. And these signs are going to follow those that believe, which tells me I'm excited already. I'm jumping around inside because we're going to have some signs because we got so many believers. And believers have signs that follow. And it says they're going to cast out demons. Now, we need to be understanding and taught. Now, I could give you live experiences. My wife and I have literally cast out physical demons. And they've manifested and they've levitated. To the typical person who don't understand this, it's scary. But to us that understand it, we were delivering somebody in the front room. She was elevating. Her aunts and everything was around them, and they were going nuts. Oh, my gosh, what's happening? She was cursing my wife and I out, pulled her skirt over her head, and it was like a... Yeah, my head. She was hiding me. How could she hide me? I'm such a nice guy. And I'm telling you, honestly, I looked over at my wife, and I wanted to laugh. I'm thinking, what did we get ourselves in for? But then I remember, these signs follow them that believe. And we commanded the stinking devils to come out of her. She went limp. She got bright eyes and bushy tail, got up, ran around. She left the front where we have cell group, and she come out, ran around, says, I'm free, I'm free. The aunts are all, oh, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And we're just sitting there thinking, boy, it's fun serving God. But not all the demons that we cast out are so visible, but it's nice to see those. I remember Lester Summerall one time was telling, because we'd go to his meetings. My family used to go be part of his when he was on earth down in South Bend. Now he's in heaven. But almost every meeting, there'd be demonstrations. People would come because they wanted to get freed. And there would be manifestations. He'd say, be still, demon. He'd call them up, and they'd start doing all things. Then they'd get freed. I'm thinking, if we're not careful, we'll think that's only for specific people. This says, those of you that believe should have signs. I mean, I had someone sitting in my office, and somebody calls me. It was a military person on leave that was messing around with a cemetery in Hemlock, and the manifestation of demons came, and it was freaking him out. And he calls me, not because he knew me. He called his base because he was on leave, and the base says, the chaplain is on relief too. You better just find a church. He talks to his grandma, and his grandma says, find a church. So he just happens to find Shield of Faith in the phone book, and he calls me. And he's telling me how this is real. I don't know if you believe me. I said, I believe you. Yeah, yeah. And my grandma says I need to get back right with God. Your grandma's right. Oh, but they're showing. So I got this guy sitting that I've been working with that's been having all kinds of things happen in his house, furniture moving, noises and everything. So I don't even realize, but I'm explaining this person. Okay, let's start right now. You're going to give your heart back to the Lord. Whatever you've done, let's just, and he did. I said, now, you've got authority. So I'm going to, with you, we're going to take authority, and these demons are going to leave you. Huh, nobody else, we went back there, and only to me. It says, because they mess with believers. And if you want to get free, oh, I want to get free. So we did it. Oh, my gosh. They left me. They're gone. And they were all excited. Lo and behold, this person that was listening said goodbye, went home. And I didn't know until later. He says, every night, furniture upstairs was moving, noises. So I was telling this guy on the phone, clean your house out. Go through and command any spirit that's not of God to get out of here. I'm a believer. I'm blood-bought. I'm a righteous man or a woman of God. He did this. He says, Pastor, I haven't had that anymore. It all silenced out. And I'm thinking, it's supposed to. We live in a world where there are demons and devils, but they have no authority over believers. We have the authority and the rights. We came home one time, my wife was yelling because she saw, looked like some kind of demon armadillo running through our house. I said, we don't have an armadillo in our house. Oh, we can't. It was a spiritual meeting. Oh, yeah, it was. It was running all around. I said, calm down, calm down. So we opened the doors, and I says, it's some kind of demonic attack. Let's take authority. So we did. We commanded every demon to leave, and then we closed the door. My wife still checked around every other door to see, make sure it was still gone. You know, I'm making light of this because it should be light. It should not be a heavy. It should be a way of life to believers. What I've changed, I used to share all this and that everybody thought it was because of the faith of Pastor Weldon. So they all wanted to be like me instead of being like Jesus and realizing I don't have any more things going for me than any believer. How many believers in here do we have? Amen. Every one of you have the same authority. And if you got issues happening in your house, go home and clean it out. Says so this house is blood bought and covered by the blood of the Lamb, and only that which is of God can abide here. And sometimes you need to do it of these stinking demons of disease and death that's in there. Command that death spirit to get out of here. Because my Bible says saved sozo means healed and set free. Oh, if your mind is all over that, command that demon of confusion to leave in Jesus' name. And I've got some news for you folks. If you're not doing this, please join us and start doing it. There is so much confusion coming in America. And the God of this world is blind at people so bad that they end up fighting the very things that could help them. I'm telling you what, if you haven't, please begin to take authority and bind the God of this world who's blinding believers from seeing the truth. And then loose the truth. I don't care what political party you're on, but bind the stinking lying God of this world. Who's blinding believers that they're caught up and they're fighting each other and they're standing for things that are not of God. But the ghost will free you. Amen. As you bind the God of this world.
Thank you, Lord.
You will speak with new tongues. And I know many of you know that a lot of us exercise that. Pick up serpents. And you can drink deadly things and it will not harm you. You can lay hands on the sick and you will recover. Who can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Just the pastor? Oh, the evangelist with the healing ministry. Believers. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have fun as we close out. We already know you're all believers. So I want to ask you this. How many would say you're going through a financial battle right now? Financial, not that you don't have, like you want to have more, but man, it's you're going through all kinds of things, and you're battling finances big time. If that's you, stand to your feet. If you're battling finances, stand to your feet. Hey, humility comes before honor. Don't be bashful if that's something that you're battling.
It's not being recorded.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. It's not being recorded. All of a sudden, another half the church stood up. All right, this is what we're going to do. Now, my instruction is, if you're not tithing, start tithing, because God says he'll close the mouth of the devourer, okay? So that's a given. That's a direction from the ghost. But I'm assuming you are already. So I'm going to ask a few believers beside him, stand beside him and lay your hands. Bible says, believers. We got a lot of believers. Lay your hands. And yeah, hey, and don't pray a 16-minute prayer. In Jesus' name, finances loosed. All right. Go ahead, sit down. Thank you, Jesus. This is not a marathon. Jesus prayed, and they were freed. All right, now, every one of you that stood, I'm expecting to hear from you soon a testimony.
Amen.
You stood and had believers stand with you, which we all did. We may not have been the ones laying our hands, but we stood with you. So I'm expecting to hear the testimony because these signs follow. Amen? If you're dealing with depression or darkness, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're dealing with darkness or if you have seasonal depression, you got to fight that off every this time of year. Anybody else? All right, everybody extend a hand over here in Jesus' name. We thank you. Father God, we thank you that darkness is not going to abide any longer.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, freed. Amen. You may sit down. If you're struggling with addictions that you've tried to break, but you can't, we're with a body of believers. I'm telling you, I'm expecting breakthroughs. If you're struggling with addiction that you can't break and you know it's not adding life to your life, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Could be any addiction. If you're struggling with it, don't be bashful. Come on, come on, just two. The rest of you don't have any addiction, so you're all free of everything. That's good, great. Humility before honor. Somebody lay your hands on these two and believe God right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're thanking you. Thank you, Jesus, that those addictions are broken off them right now, never to show up again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm expecting the testimony out of you guys. How many have a strained relationship? Or you are believing for a mighty woman or a mighty man to come into your life. If you're believing for a relationship, we're talking about a godly one because we pray for godly ones here. Or you, husband and wife, are strained in your relationship. I want you to stand because there's a lot of agreement in this room. So if that's you, you're believing for a mate or you're believing for... Come on, that's Victor. All right, Jeff. Anybody else? Come on. All right. Strength, healing, relationship. All right. Somebody that hasn't laid hands on these, go over by them. Lay your hands on them. And we're believing with them in Jesus' name for healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. Signs follow. Thank you. In Jesus' name, unbeatable teams. Bring the right women in these men's lives that love you, God, and will love others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Mike alluded to praying for this time of year. If you're dealing with a health issue, if you're dealing with being plagued with a health issue, I want you to stand to your feet. I believe that we need to break off, and we need to believe. Whatever it is, maybe it's high blood pressure, maybe it's whatever. Stand to your feet. Look all through this. I can tell you, those that are hungry will have their hunger met. And Jesus, looking around, these are lives that need a healing touch in their bodies. All right, believers, we got a lot now, so spread out. Let's lay hands on these. We're believing these signs shall follow the believers. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you gave us sozo, which is healing with our salvation. And right now, we speak to that part of the body to line up, and we call forth health and healing in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. These signs follow the believers. Now, we're going to have one last challenge, but before we go there, let me read this on the very end of Mark. And the believers went out and shared everywhere, and the Lord continued working with them, and he confirmed his word with signs following. So I'm expecting to get some testimonies out of all of us praying for one another, because you guys are believers, and these signs follow believers. But when we leave this building, the ghost goes with you.
Amen.
The signs go with you. So I'm expecting you to be led with people that need to be prayed for, and you're going to pray for them. You have a release upon you because you have the Great Commission. Go! Go and make disciples of all. You don't need a pastor's endorsement. You need a believer's endorsement. All signs follow them that believe. Amen? All right, the last thing. And we're going to stand for an unspoken request. You've got something and you're believing maybe for somebody and you're standing in the gap for that person. I want you to stand. You're believing maybe for somebody's salvation. And you're believing with us, and we're going to stand and believe with you in Jesus' name. You're believing for loved ones. You're believing for somebody that you know needs the Lord. Maybe you've shared, but there's something that we've got to believe that the ghost can get the breakthrough and recalculate that person's walk to get them to that encounter. Father God, we lift up every life right now that's represented by these, your sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters that are standing, believing you for a miracle breakthrough of salvation, or maybe they're standing because somebody needs a healing. Father God, we stand with them, and we declare in Jesus Christ's name that these are set free, that they're believing, and we stand with our brothers and sisters, and we call it done now. In Jesus' name, and all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen, which means so be it. Yes. How great is our God. Now, if we want to see and hear signs and have testimonies in the miraculous, then we have got to become doers of what we already know. And if you think the ghost is recalculating just for you, no. He's recalculating you to be a blessing to others. So look, be sensitive to the opportunities that he's going to give you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I know you're all believers because you raise your hand, so we don't have to ask you to come to Jesus. And we don't have Facebook, so we'll just believe all of them on Facebook are already saved. Yeah, it's on the internet. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we stand as brothers and sisters, and we are so grateful for each life that you've touched our life with. Lord, we do believe like passionate people hanging together rejuvenates us. We know you created us to not be lone rangers, but be connected to other believers. Father, seal that into our hearts. Let us see how significant we are for others. And Father, we do give you the praise. We give you the glory and the honor. And thank you for this day that you have made. In Jesus' name, amen. Love on one another. God bless you.